study on terms in the Bible where we see the phrase one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us to submit to one another. And when we look at these passages regarding our behavior toward one another, it really has a big impact on our life. And the goal for this series is that we would draw closer to one another and be more of what God has called us to be as a congregation and Christians in general. And so the scripture that we want to mainly look at this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Paul tells the Ephesian brethren, "Now do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and to everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so in particular here, we want to focus on verse 21, where Paul tells us to submit to one another. Why? We do that out of reverence for Christ, because of our respect, our reverence for Christ, and wanting to follow His will and to follow His example. And I know sometimes when we this word submit is not our favorite word. It's a word that sometimes makes people bristle when they feel like they have to give up their rights to someone else. And we don't really like that word. You know, surely the scriptures aren't telling us that we have to submit to one another. Well, no, it does tell us that we need to do that. And being submissive is one of the concepts that many people in our society would really bristle at and find that it's the worst thing that you could possibly do. You know, how dare you say that I have to yield to someone else? And so we're able to see the fruit of this idea in many actions and belief systems in our society today. People don't respect others, and they don't yield to others, certainly. You know, just in the way that you see people obeying traffic laws. You know, there are sometimes in traffic where I see the light is turning yellow, and you have that split second where you think, can I stop for this, or am I not going to stop? And so there are times I think, well, it could go either way. You know, I could stop or I could not stop, and I go on through the light, and then I see there's three other cars behind me that go on behind me too. So if I could have stopped, certainly those that were behind me could have. And so I just bring that up that you see everybody is thinking about themselves, that I'm in a hurry, and so I'm not thinking about the people that are waiting to go the other way and whether or not that inconveniences someone else. We're all thinking about ourselves. And with a little reflection, you can think of other things in our society too, where we have the unwillingness to submit to others, and it causes a lot of problems when people are only thinking about themselves. And so certainly, you know, submission is something that is very important. And it's a theme that we see throughout the scriptures. Why is it that I need to submit? Why is it that I need to yield? Why can't we just do what we think is best for ourselves? And so we need to understand why it is important, and that really the idea of submission is a beautiful thing when we think about the nature of God and the nature of Christ and what He did for us. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, as Brendan read for us this morning. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by being obedient to death, even death on the cross. And so when you look at this description of Jesus, we know what is said about Him, that Jesus is God. And we've talked about this before, how when we look at ourselves and we look at who God is, you know, there's no comparison. And when you think about what Jesus did in devaluing Himself and becoming the form of a servant, He did not consider the equality with God as something to be used to His own advantage. In other words, He didn't say, well, I'm too good to do that. I'm too good to help out mankind. He did not use that position of importance and value and power as something that He would use selfishly. And too many times we use our position as something that is selfish, and we do not have the right attitude toward others, and we're certainly not following the example that we see in Christ. He was God. He humbled Himself. He subjected Himself to the will of the Father. And so when we think about submission, submission is something that we do voluntarily. And Jesus did this voluntarily. He was not forced upon that. That submission is always something that we see as being voluntary. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that we are to have that same mindset in our relationships with other people that Jesus had. So you don't consider yourself, you don't consider your strength, your importance and your value as something to be used for your own gain or your own advantage. You don't use those things for yourself. You willingly yield for the good of others. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what's meant for us to do as a disciple of Christ. And probably it's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to stop thinking about ourselves and stop thinking about how everything affects me, and to think about others and how we might be of benefit to them. In Matthew chapter 20 says that Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them." So He's using the example of the political leaders, or the leaders of the day, how they lord themselves over others and to force them to do what it is that they would have them to do. And Jesus didn't say, "You follow their example and you be just like they are." He said, "You don't be that way." He said, It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. And so Jesus was pointing out, you're going to see a lot of people that try to have their own way, or they try to force others into submission, and that's not the way you're to be. You're to be the opposite of that. You didn't come to be served, but you came to serve. And Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus brings this whole new approach to relationships, that you are to submit to one another, no matter what your position is. You know, sometimes when somebody is in the working world and they get a big promotion, what is something that is said many times to that person by those that may be in a lower position? They said, "Well, don't forget where you came from," or "Don't forget us little guys down here." But what they're saying is that many times when somebody is promoted, they forget about everybody else. They forget about those who you know, may need their help, and we certainly see that in the political world, in society in general, in the working world, that sometimes people have that attitude toward relationships, that they forget about others. Jesus said, you need to be like Him and be a servant to other people. Don't put yourself first, because that's not what He did. And that's why submission is so important. And it's not optional. It's not one of those things that we can do whether if we think that it might be a good thing. No, it's supposed to be something that we do. A failure to submit ourselves to one another shows that we are not being the disciple of Christ that he would want us to be. We're not following the example of Christ. So in the remainder of the lesson, let's take a look at what does this look like in our lives? What does submission look like in our daily dealings with each other and the world? So Paul gives us a number of illustrations and examples. So the first one we want to look at is in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, submit to the government. Romans 13 verses 1 and 2, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So the Word of God tells us here that we are to submit ourselves to government. And rebellion to the government never happens. We never see that. So we'll move on to our next point. Now that we see that all the time, don't we? We especially see that today. If people don't like what the government's doing, you know, sometimes violence will ensue, or people just ignore the laws of the land. And of course, we know that as Christians, if there's a conflict between what the government wants us to do and what God wants us to do, we're to follow God. But we're talking here about things that don't fall into that category, but submitting to the government. And certainly Jesus lived in a time when the government was not pristine and white as snow. There was a lot of things that were going on at the time. And certainly Paul, when he wrote this to the Roman brethren, there were things going on in the government that may not have been good. And there were leaders that might have not had the best interest of the people at heart. And so Paul didn't say, because the government isn't what it should be and everybody's not pristine in the government, then you have no responsibility to follow the laws of the land. No, that's not what he said. And I think we forget that sometimes, that we're going to follow the laws if we agree with them, or if we think that everybody in the government is trying to follow God. That's not what Paul said. He said, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. We can certainly have a hand in our government, as we have done recently in voting. But sometimes things may or may not go your way. And this does not say if your candidate wins, then you can follow the government. But if your candidate doesn't win, then you have no responsibility to submit. He just says, let every person be subject to the governing authority. So a Christian submits to the governing authority, even if we don't particularly like what the government is doing in every regard. There is nothing in the Scriptures that says that we must only submit to the government if the government is righteous. There's nothing there that tells us that you can only submit to the government if it's a capitalistic democracy. And I know that's hard. That's hard for us to hear. But what Paul says, by submitting to the government, what are you showing? You're showing your submission to God. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When he was questioned about that, because people were trying to test his allegiance. You know, are you going to rebel against the government, Jesus? And Jesus said, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things that are God's to God. And so by submitting to the government, we are showing our submission to God. And to rebel against the government, what does that reveal about you? It reveals a lack of submission to God. That does not mean that we cannot participate in the political process, or that we just sit back and let whatever happens happens. You know, we have a voice where we can make our desires known, but we need to do that within the confines of what's legal, and submit to God as He tells us to submit to the government. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the general teaching is that we are to submit to one another, and the Apostle Paul here is teaching us what submission looks like in our lives. Another thing that we see is in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, submission to our masters. Submission to our masters, those who we work for. And what Paul says here, that we're going to get to that in the next part, submission for masters in the way that they treat those who work for them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And so those of you that are a master, those of you that are over other people, remember that you're not at the top of the food chain because you are a master, because you're an employer or whatever, that you have to realize that you have somebody over you, and that is God in heaven. Again, it says, masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. So their true master is not you. Their true master is in heaven, and there's no partiality with God. So what Paul does here in Ephesians chapter 6 is explain what submission looks like if you are a master in a work environment. Even though you have a position of authority, what are you to do? You're to be kind. You're not to threaten. You're not. You need to submit yourself to the true master who is in heaven. You have the ability to do good or to do evil to those who are under you in that role. What are you going to do? Well, hopefully you're going to do what God said. You're going to do good instead of evil and have the right attitude toward those who work for you. Also in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, submission for bondservants. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And so those who have a master who has authority over them in their work, what are they to do? What is their attitude to be? Well, they're to obey their earthly master. They're to obey the one who they are working for. And they're to do that how? They're to do it with a sincere heart. Not working because the boss is watching. You render your work as though you're doing the will of God from the heart. We recently had a new employee that came to our company that had worked for another printing equipment vendor for many, many years. And one of the things that he asked is what kind of reports do I have to fill out every day about my activity? And my boss and his said, the only thing that would be worse than you having to fill that out is me having to read it. And what he was saying is that we're on the honor system here. We are trusting you to work. We're not making you fill out a bunch of forms to prove that you are working, or worse, to lie about what you say you were working on but you really weren't. And so when you're in a position like that, what could people do? Well, nobody's really holding me accountable to for my time. And so you could abuse that relationship as a worker and say, well, I'm going to get away with what I can get away with because they're not tracking my mileage, they're not tracking my time, and so I can work if I want to and don't work if I don't want to. And what a blessing it is to work for someone that's not constantly tracking every second of your day. But you don't take advantage of that. Paul says, if you are a bondservant, you need to work faithfully. and not by the way of eye service. This is saying don't do this to, in the way that you're only going to work when somebody is seeing you. You know what kids will do when their parents are away, and they know their mom or dad's going to get home at a certain time, and they were supposed to be cleaning the house, and they want to know exactly when it is their parents are going to come home so they can get up, you know, 5 minutes before, and then they can turn off the TV and get off of the couch, and when mom walks through the door, you know, there they are. They're busy and cleaning and doing the things they were told to do. That's eye service, isn't it? And we know about eye service. We know when we're being watched, or we're going to behave differently when we know we're going to be watched. When you work in a business and there are those that come from the corporate headquarters to visit a location, you know, what do they start doing? Well, they cut the grass, they freshen up the flowers, they clean the office, they ask everybody to straighten up what they're doing and clean their desk and look like you're busy. Paul says, don't just try to act like you're busy. You're not working for your master as a way of eye service or as people pleasers, but how? You're going to talk about eye service, work for the one that can see you all the time. God can see you all the time. Bond servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And so whether you know, if you're in this situation, you need to do this work knowing that you receive back from the Lord based on how you submit in this relationship. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4, or Ephesians chapter 6, rather, in verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Well, what does that have to do with submission? You know, usually we think about, you know, kids being submissive to their parents, but here is instruction for the father that really reflects on their submission to God. Are they going to bring up their children in a godly way? Are they going to submit to the Lord in the way that they ought to raise their children? And fathers can show their submission to God and to others in the relationship that they have with their family. And specifically here, not provoking their children to anger. You spend your time and your effort in bringing up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And many times this is because we're doing the will of God and not following our own will. When we are acting selfishly, we make it harder for others to submit to us in their relationships. Father shouldn't stomp around saying, "Well, I'm the father, I'm going to run this house the way I want, and everybody needs to be submissive to me." Be better if the father would be submissive to others and not want his way all the time, and certainly look at God's will and what God would want in this relationship. And sometimes we can be guilty of provoking our children to anger. And so what that sometimes children get angry anyway, but because generally sometimes they don't like to be told what to do. This is not talking about that. This is talking about the father's relationship. This is talking about what is on the father to do. The father should not be provoking them to anger. This means the father is going too far. The father is at fault here. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so look at how it is that you raise your children to fit what God says. Also, children are to be submissive. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. One of my father's favorite passages. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land." So children show their submission in this relationship by being obedient to their parents and honoring their parents. In other words, children are not doing what it is that they think is best, but they are going to listen and respect the parent who has a little bit more time and experience than they do. And they will do that because they want to be fulfilling the role that God has given them. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is something that God wants you to do, is to be obedient to your parents. And children have to be taught how to do this. And it seems that sometimes children do not naturally tend to obey their parents or naturally honor and respect their parents. It's a concept that needs to be taught and expected. And it also can be taught by example, where the parents are submissive to God and they or they're also submissive in their work environment, as we've already talked about. So if they see the example of their parents having respect for authority, respect for the government, respect for their work, and they're not lazy in the things that they do for their work, and they also have the right relationship with others, the children will see that. And sometimes parents wonder why children don't have any more respect than they do, and do not honor and do not obey, is because they see their parents doing the same thing, or the parents not doing the same thing, where the parents are not showing any honor or respect in their relationships with anyone, and then wonder why the kids don't inherit that. Also, husbands ought to have the right attitude of submission and being submissive to God's will for the husband's role in the family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So husbands can show their submission to God by having the right attitude toward their wives and loving their wives as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her. They're to love their wives as their own bodies, nourishing it and cherishing. When my father was preaching on this subject, one thing that he usually brought up is that how are husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church? And he would point out, did Christ ever ask the church to do anything out of selfishness for himself? Did Christ ever treat anyone with an attitude of selfishness toward himself? Well, we've already noted that he gave himself, he lowered himself to be the sacrifice for us. I don't think you could point to anything that Christ ever did or said that you would think that Christ was looking out for his own self-interest, that Christ was looking out for himself and being selfish. But have husbands ever done anything in their marriage relationship that showed that they were being selfish or looking out for their own self-interest? If we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church, then we should not be asking them to do anything for us out of selfishness and out of self-centeredness. And that's a high standard, isn't it? If he just said, "Husbands, love your wives," you just define that however you want it to. But he didn't. He specified, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." Oh, well, That's different. That's a very high standard. Husbands, do not put yourself first in the relationship, but sacrifice the way Christ sacrificed for us. You know, what is in the best interest of others, not yourself? And that's really been the theme of this whole series. When we're looking at one another, looking at this phrase "one another," it's not about looking at yourself. It's not about your own self-interest. And also in the same context, the wives are mentioned as well in verses 22 through 24. That wives are to show submission in the marriage relationship. How are they to do that? Well, they are to respect their husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church's body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And so what we see here is also this is qualified by saying you submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And you yield. And hopefully we see by this point that when we look at any relationship, whether it's to the government, whether it's to our employer, whether it's to an employee, whether it's fathers, mothers, children, every one of these relationships, we're instructed that we need to be submissive. So whether you are married or single, have children, have jobs, there is a particular way that you show your submission. And how do you do that? You do it as Jesus would do. This is the point of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We all submit to one another. And we do that in different ways, but we do this out of reverence for Christ. And so when you look at Philippians chapter 2 and you consider the submission of Christ for us, and you understand how far-reaching this command is for us, that we submit to one another, and look at the example of Jesus, who in every way submitted himself to God to the point of death, we can understand that disciples of Christ have a responsibility to submit to others. And nobody can really make you do that. Jesus did that voluntarily. And submission is voluntarily, and it comes from your heart. It comes from your desire to be like Christ and to be what He would have us to be. So the world would be much better off if people would have more of an attitude of consideration and submission for one another. And how much better things would be if we all had that attitude. And again, we can't make anybody else do that. We can only do that ourselves. But to have the harmony that God desires us to have, without division, it starts with your attitude toward self. What can we do to be more like Jesus? Well, we can be more submissive as He was, to submit to the death on the cross for our sins. So the life of a Christian is a life of submission. And I hope this will be useful to you, and that we can have the right attitudes toward all the relationships that we have in our life, whether it's to each other in the congregation or in the world, to our employers or to the government, that we have the attitude that God would have us to have. So let's prayerfully think about these things and make adjustments if we need to. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand.
Who will follow Jesus, standing for the bride, holding out the thunder in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today?
good to have this number here this morning. Even with those that all of us online, thank you for your presence. I hope that things we've done have been edifying to you. Just remember those that we've mentioned sick, those that we continue to keep on our minds in prayer. Let's well remember Wednesday night, we'll have our Bible study online. I'll actually be leading that. So that'll be 7 o'clock Wednesday evening on Facebook Live. Are there any other announcements we need to make this morning before we're dismissed? If not, I'll hardly believe us in our closing prayer.
Let us pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, please forgive us when we fail to be in submission to those in authority, when we fail to be in submission to others where we should be servants. Help us to have faith and hope in our lives in the world that has so many discrepancies going on, but help there to be peace and harmony again, especially among Christians and people that can still be saved that are not Christians yet. We pray, dear Father, that you can continue guiding us as we go through life. Help us to continue studying your word so we'll know the right way. And help the leaders of the nations, especially what will be the leader of this nation in the next few days or weeks or months, but help there to be peace and harmony and people submitting to those in authority. And we're thankful, dear Father, that you are overall in charge of everything that can give us courage. If there will be trials or tribulations, it'll be for purifying us as better Christians. If there's peace and harmony, help us to continue realizing that it comes from you. Be with those that are traveling and those that have traveled. Be with those that are sick and ailing and help them to have better and calmer lives and be healed if it's your will through whatever means are available. Again, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for all the example that he has given us and that's been recorded for us in your word. It's through him we pray. Amen.